Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
You may have heard this story before, so bear with me. I think many of them did last night because it didn't really resonate with too many of them, but that's okay. In the French Revolution, there were three Christians that were sent to the guillotine, and each of these had a gift. One, the gift of faith, one, the gift of prophecy, and the other, the gift of helps. Well, the first one was brought to the guillotine, and they said, "Do you have any last words?" And he said, "Yes, I do not fear to die, and I have faith that God will free me from the guillotine." They said, "Okay." They put him on the guillotine, they pull the rope, and nothing happens. They go, "Wow, it's a sign from God. This guy must be innocent." So they let him go. They brought the next one in. Said, "Do you have any last words?" And he says, "Yes, I am not afraid to die either. And I predict that God will free me from the guillotine." And they said, "Okay." They put him on there, pull the rope, nothing happens. Wow, God must want this guy to live too. So they let him go. So then they bring in the third Christian with the gift of helps and ask him, "Do you have any last words?" And he says, "Yes, I'm just as brave as my brothers. I am not afraid to die. Let's get on with it." So they put him on the guillotine. And just before they're going to pull the rope, he goes, "Stop!" "Stop what?" He says, "I think I found the problem with your guillotine." Yeah, corny, I know. But, you know, Spomer's not here. I got to fill in. Currently, we're looking at Romans chapter 12. The second part of "We belong together." And last week, Pastor Dreyer shared about how we're one body. We belong to each other, and we need each other. And today, we're going to look at gifts and our response to them for God's glory. Who remembers the Geico ad that came out last December that has a father reading a newspaper, and he pulls it down and looks over and says to his son, "15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance with Geico." And the boy looks up from his video game and says, "Everybody knows that." And the father says, "I bet you didn't know that Pinocchio was a bad motivational speaker." And the scene changes, and here's Pinocchio in front of people. And he says, "When I look around the room, I see a lot of untapped potential." And then he points at one individual and says, "You have potential." And then immediately his nose begins to grow because he's lying, right? Yeah, how would you like to have been that person? But I have good news for each of you today. You have potential, and I am not lying. Why? Because it is God who says it, and he cannot lie. Romans 12 indicates that the Father has given gifts to each of us. And Luther writes in his explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed that the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies each of us. Luther states that the Spirit enlightens us with his gifts. Now, this is that ongoing process of the Spirit proceeding from the Father and the Son. The verb proceed is, or means, to go forward. And it is the verb of love that the Father uses to present us all the gifts we need. And he gives us word and sacrament to provide all that we need. He invests in us. He provides for us, cares for us, and directs us. He created us fearfully and wonderfully made in a complex design, knitted together with love and a purpose. So what is that purpose? Ephesians 4:10 says that we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created for good works which the Father has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And as we seek to use these gifts, there is an important condition on them. According to 1 Corinthians 14:1, we are to pursue the way of love. Now, who remembers 1 Corinthians 13:1 that says, any gift without love is but a noisemaker, a clanging cymbal, an annoyance. It's not a blessing. 1 Peter 2:21 reminds us, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. See, Christ had work given him from the Father, and we, being his children and people, have work to do also. Now, this is known as a function of the law telling us what we ought and should do, but this is also gospel. Why? Because the good news is your sins are forgiven. And a repentant heart that receives forgiveness kneels at Jesus' feet and pours out a gift of service to him. Our gospel today in Luke 7 illustrates that. It shares how a repentant heart in love and humility brings a gift and serves our Lord. Conversely, our gospel also contrasts how a proud and unrepentant heart sees no need to serve or submit to Jesus. The proud heart judges and disdains those who serve and questions the forgiveness that Jesus offers to all. What then is our response to the grace and mercy shown to us? Well, first, we should examine ourselves and recognize how much we've been forgiven. And then by faith, trust God's promise that we're a child of his and we're in his service. Second of all, we have to discover what it is he has given us. We need to realize that we have not been given a task that we cannot complete. Why? Because he equips us. You look at the gifts in 12, 6 through 8, and the gifts listed here primarily are recognized as those used by the leaders of the early church, pastors, deacons, and such, but it's not limited to them. These gifts are a manifestation of God's radical grace. We can read in John 3:34 how Jesus had the Spirit without measure, meaning he had it all. But by grace, each of us receives a portion of the Spirit for service. Therefore, if it's prophecy, then you prophesy to the measure of faith that you have been given. 1 Corinthians 14:3 informs us that the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding, for their encouragement, for their consolation. And this prophecy is not foretelling the future, but it is to warn people concerning sin and duty and reminding them of what they should already know. Preaching refers to the eternal condition of your present state, but points directly to a future state. Those who preach must apply what they preach to themselves, because people see an example better than they hear a directive. Greater still, they must preach the whole counsel of God, and that most importantly includes the grace and mercy we receive from Jesus Christ. Paul lists six more gifts. Serving. Now, this could be an elder or deacon assisting the ministry, but it could also be just the simple act of waiting tables, as we see in Acts 6, where men full of faith and the Spirit and wisdom with a good reputation are assigned that duty. Teaching. It's usually associated with the pastoral office. You expect the pastor to teach, but other people, you can teach. But we always have to remember James 3:1. It says you're going to be held to a higher standard, and you will be accountable for preaching pure doctrine and truth. Now, exhorting. Now, this is encouraging others with an uplifting, cheerful call to worthwhile accomplishment. It's similar to teaching, as it tells you what you should do. But it also can be coming alongside someone to partner with them and to help them accomplish ministry for the glory of God. Giving. Now, there can be two meanings here. One is the people that were responsible to take the tithes and offerings, manage them, and then distribute them to the needs of believers. But the second meaning could be any of us contributing to a need generously, but most importantly, cheerfully. Leading or ruling. This refers to pastors and church body government. And they all must be diligent in the care of the body of Christ so it is preserved and served as Christ does us. Examples of this could be like elders or presidents of the congregation like Donnie Hall here or Scott Dittmer over at Our Savior. Showing mercy. This referred to caring for the sick, the needy, the poor, the aged, the widow. Serving these groups was to be a delight, not a chore. All too often in our day, these groups are often disdained, seen as useless, or not needed, and even ignored. But Christ's example is that he came to seek, serve, and save these very groups. And in a spiritual context, that's each of us. We're very needy people. But God is great and gives gifts. Now, there are other gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4. And you can look at them later. I encourage you to. And I think altogether there are 21 gifts listed in Scripture. But in any of these, we are to emulate our Father who always served us, taught us, encouraged us, gave us all he had in his Son, leads us, and always shows us mercy. Now, let you not be overwhelmed, take a breath, and realize that none of you have been given all the gifts. I think you realize that. But you have definitely been given at least one. And this is to divide the work up into manageable portions. Think about it. If everybody could do everything, then nothing would get done. Why? Because that adage is true. That which is everybody's work is nobody's work. I let the other guy do it. He's better at it than I am, right? Well, God wisely separates the gifts and work as he chooses. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "But to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing each one individually just as he wills." Now, if you don't know what your gift is, there are plenty of tools and things available today to help you discover what it is. Our God has given you a gift to use and develop in his kingdom. He made you uniquely to be and do for his glory. We know this because of Ephesians 4:8, where Paul writes, quoting Psalm 68:18, "When he ascended, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men and women." That's you. To discover your gift, first pray asking the Father to help you learn what it is he's given you and what he wants you to do with it. Then try serving in various ways. Try new things. Do things that you are drawn to and enjoy. Maybe you have a passion for something. Do something with others who can help draw out your giftedness. Now, don't do something you hate. Now, I know sometimes we have to do things we don't like. But if you just hate doing something, it's probably not your gift and not your calling. But find something that you enjoy that blesses you and others. If you are faithful with that gift, the Lord may graciously give you another gift. But just know, he will never overwhelm you. And right now, I'd like to thank and acknowledge all those who have discovered their gifts and used them in the service of Our Savior and Ablaze Churches. You know, your example inspires each of us and those that you encounter. So thank you. You know, sometimes we may think that we really don't have anything to offer. And we'll say this is humility. You know, I'm nothing special. I'm nobody. Well, the reality is you are made in the image of God and are a new creation with power, gifts, and ability. You know, we might say, no one will notice or remember my service. Now, this is simply pride, selfishness, or a lack of faith. Remember, you are serving for an audience of one. You remember the story of the servants who received the talents. One received five, one two, and one. And two acted in faith and humility and served the master, and they gained for the kingdom. One acted in disbelief, selfishness, and fear. He even hid what he had, and he gained nothing. Which of these pleased their master? Now, there are at least two other pitfalls regarding gifts, and that's envy and arrogance. Envy compares oneself to another and says, I wish I had what they have. And when we do that, we're implying that God is not good, that he didn't treat me equally or right to, say, Donnie. Well, that's not right nor good. God is good, and he treats us the way we should be treated. Arrogance, on the other hand, is being proud, as though we had something to do with receiving the gift I have, or that somehow we are better than another person with another gift. Remember, we belong to each other, we need each other, we have different functions and gifts, and we're all important. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. As a unique child of God, you're redeemed by the blood of Christ for a purpose. Listen to these words that come from 1 Peter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in the body is done with sin, and as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, but they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, here is the good news and the main thing for us today. You have potential given by God. He is with you and for you, providing everything you need to serve. He wants you to shine in 2020 and beyond. He has forgiven you all your failures, your sins, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You are in a win-win situation. He reminds you of this with his special supper, in which you are enabled to fellowship with him and all those who are called by his name. This is to encourage you and strengthen you. You are part of a great company, and you are necessary to the mission in the part that you have been given. It is God the Father who will remember your service with these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. And as with the woman in our gospel, Jesus says to us, your faith, not your works, has saved you. Go, serve in peace. Amen.